Well, should we wait for Mr. Duplanty or no?
We can, or we can address the agenda items that, oh, here we go. He's joining.
Okay. Hello.
Hello.
Okay. Okay. So yes, yeah, so the meeting is called to order, and Ms. Puckerman, will you please do the roll call?
Yes, Madam Chair. Dr. Catarino?
Yes, present.
Dr. DiBacco?
Here.
Dr. Bowen?
Here.
Dr. Kirkpatrick?
Here.
Dr. Malott?
Here.
Dr. Ostrom?
Here.
Dr. Robbins?
Here.
And Dr. Stafford had indicated he had a conflict emerge, so he won't be joining us. And then welcome to Mr. Duplanty, who is our guest. So Madam Chair, you have a quorum and you can proceed.
Okay, well, thanks. I want to thank Dr. Kirkpatrick and Mr. Duplanty for joining. I appreciate you coming today. The first item is the approval of the minutes from October 28th. Any questions or concerns about those minutes? Do I hear a motion to approve the minutes?
So moved.
Any second?
I'll second.
Okay, a vote on the minutes then. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, thank you. Now, the first thing that there was a new item added, Dr. DiBacco wanted to bring up again the mission and purpose of the School Psychology Licensure Exemption Committee. I want to address that first and then I'll hear from the rest of you. So my understanding is that it was originally to develop a substantive policy statement regarding the school psychology licensure exemption. So we did develop one, but there no consensus was reached by all the committee members. We also at the committee looked at the role of practitioners who perform independent IE educational evaluations, the role of contracted school psychology staffing companies, and development of guidelines for how the school psychology licensing exemption can be applied when the board is responding to complaints from the public regarding non-licensed school psychology. Previously, Ms. Galvin reported that the board can refer these individuals who practice without a license to local authorities for the purposes of conducting a criminal investigation and perhaps a court-ordered injunction. Ms. Galvin, would you like to, is she here? No. She's not present today? Oh, yes, you are. I didn't see you. Right there. Okay, is there anything else you would like to add about your comments regarding what to do when a person is practicing without a license?
Not at this time.
Okay. Another issue that came up was the existing language in 32.2075, the exemption from licensure, which was regarding the use of the title psychologist and also the root word psych, such as in psychological evaluation, neuropsychological evaluation, and psychotherapy. And in that law, the exemption as it currently reads is a school psychologist who is employed by a common school, high school, or charter school, and who is certified by the Department of Education. And if the services or activities are part of their duties can be at the school can be referred to as school psychologists. Now, over time, we have our current state in Arizona is that we have many more charter schools. I believe we have the most in the nation. And we have many school psychology contracting agencies that I looked at some of the numbers and it looks like maybe there's 25% of school psychologists might be contracted. So this, and we have many more IEEs nowadays. So this prompted maybe a discussion of a change in the law in regards particularly to discussion of contracted versus employed. So I would like to jump ahead and go to item four, Ms. Puckerman, because I feel that the discussion of that bill fits in right here. Can you review that?
Dr. Catarino?
Oh, yes, I forgot. I'm sorry. Are there any other input? I have that written.
Thank you, John.
I'm so sorry.
I just want to make sure I'm clear. My understanding, the purpose of the committee was to discuss these issues.
Yes.
And make recommendations to the licensing board for consideration.
Yes.
Am I correct?
Yes, that's what I understand too.
Okay. I just want to make sure.
Any other comments on that? I'm sorry. I meant to refer back to you. Anybody else have a comment on how they see the committee?
This is Ramona. I just wanted to, since I know the board made a motion and passed last week in open meeting that there was a bill being proposed by the Arizona School Psychologists Association to expand the definition of employee, and the board made a motion to support it. I'm wondering if that item still needs to be on the agenda.
Well, I'd like to have it on there because I want Ms. Pakman to let us all know the status of that bill.
Okay. Just wanted to...
She attended the meeting, so she might have some input a little bit too.
Okay,
what she
thank
observed.
You.
Thanks. Ms. Pakman.
Yes, Madam Chair, and thank you, Dr. Malott. You did steal a tiny bit of my thunder with your summary, but that's perfectly fine. I'm glad that you covered that.
Sorry.
No, that's good. Just in the event that maybe that detail would have eluded me. So just sort of going back a little bit into some history, what actually happened was that on the morning of this committee's most recent meeting back on October 28th, proposed language that the School Psychologists Association had prepared was shared with me. What unfortunately prevented this committee from reviewing it and discussing it on October 28th was because the agenda had already been posted and it did not include an opportunity to have the discussion. And if we had the discussion, we would have violated Arizona's open meeting law. And so there was some knowledge that some language was being prepared, in some capacity as far back as October. We couldn't address it. So fast forward, this legislation then presented in the form of House Bill 2178. And so 2178, which you have a copy of, as Dr. Malott noted, it was posted just in time for the board to include it on its January 7th meeting agenda. So in that event, the timing worked out that the board could review the language, discuss it. And as Dr. Malott noted, the board did vote in support of it. So the committee hearing for that bill was on the 19th of January. And I attended the hearing for purposes of providing, answers to any questions that the committee might have. The committee didn't have any questions of me. The presentation, Dr. Bowen, I think did a very artful job of presenting the rationale for the bill. There was very little discussion. It easily passed through the committee on a vote of 9-1 and one member absent. So since January 19th, the bill, there's no amendments to it. So the language that you're looking at remains the language under consideration. It's passed the Rules Committee. And just moments ago, it was passed by the House on a vote to 58-1 non-voting. So it appears to have strong support, at least in that chamber. It will be a while before the Senate picks this up and hears it. And I'm happy to answer any questions that you have about the history and the progression of the bill.
Well, this is for you or Dr. O'Han. My understanding, the major change that I saw was that it would be using people that are contracted and employed. Either way, you can still use the title. So anything else you'd like to add, Dr. Bohan particularly, because I see you were very involved in drafting the legislation.
Yes, we work with our legislative liaison, Susie Cannata, with the drafting the proposed new language. And yes, you've talked about the substantive change, which was adding the piece with contracted. Other pieces with it as it moved forward were some other minor changes that really updated the language, was more consistent with the status of how schools are operating in Arizona around charter schools and some of that language. So other minor changes consistent with that. And as Ms. Pakinot just said, is that it just did pass this morning, I believe, at 58-1 through the House.
So just to be sure, it does not impact the use of the terms school psychologists or psychologists for those that do not have a license but want to practice independently? That still doesn't
affect the language as far as the terms that can be used, and those are the same as they have been. So use of terminology is still the same.
Okay, and it doesn't directly impact IEEs.
It's not related to IEEs. That really is, I think, a separate, in my opinion, conversation around how IEEs are handled in school districts.
Okay. Any questions? Yes, any questions on this? John.
So why are we even meeting? This is at least perfunctory. I mean, the decision's already been made. I don't know what else we can do or we should do. The board has weighed in, apparently.
I think that they still don't have those issues. There are some.
I think we're vestigial in this situation, quite frankly. I mean, and my understanding is that the bill was dropped subsequent to our first meeting. Is that correct?
Yes. It just was in October. It was coming out around the time of our last meeting.
We stated our mission, and then the bill was dropped subsequent to that.
Yes.
Right. Again, I'm not trying to be adversarial, but from an efficiency standpoint, why are we meeting if the issue has already, gone into motion? I mean, it's a cold kettle of fish, as far as I'm concerned.
Madam Chair, can I maybe offer some perspective?
Yes. Yes.
I think that even if only for purposes of this committee acknowledging, if you're prepared to do this, if you're prepared to acknowledge, your work has been completed, there are no residual or outstanding issues that you think need to be addressed, if you truly feel that this bill resolves everything, then what the purpose of this meeting serves is to close the record, if you will. I think that what we've struggled with in the past was that this board has attempted to look at this issue. They formed groups, to focus on it. And then the historical trail, if you will, the record runs cold because some event occurred or maybe didn't occur. And so we don't know the rest of the story. So if only for purposes of this committee determining its work is done, then the record will reflect that forever and ever. So, the future board and staff, they can refer to this and be clear about how it ended. That being said, this is one more opportunity to talk about what sort of issues may still be unaddressed. It may be that this committee feels that the legislation would be improved with amending it. That would be an ask that the association would need to agree to, of course, and the board would need to agree to that, of course. And I'm not suggesting that you need to do that. I'm just suggesting that it may be something that you at least consider.
Yeah, Heidi, that's helpful. I was going to ask, what options do we have? And you said that it's possible to entertain an amendment before it goes to the Senate for final vote, if the board approves of that. Where I was kind of stuck is that we convened this committee in order to discuss various options, pros and cons. And my understanding was that before anything would happen, at least in terms of our committee, we would do that and then make recommendations to the board. And quite frankly, I was unaware that this matter had been presented to the full board and the board endorsed the language. I was unclear about that. So I understand now.
Well, thank you. I mean, one of the reasons we wanted to also discuss our relationship with the Department of Education And so that's why we have our guest here today. Another thing I thought, do we want to remain silent on the issue of IEEs, or do we want to make a statement on that? And I think we accepted that, you know, we did accept that contracting agencies would be okay, even if they were not headed by a licensed psychologist, I believe. So those are some of the things that the bill did not, you know, address, I think. Is there anybody else have input about, you know, to answer Dr. DeBacco's question about what else we might want to discuss that relates to this issue? So let me think of the next point. Then I would like, we couldn't discuss this in October because there wasn't notice, but I know that Dr. Bohan had some data she wanted to share at that time from the Arizona Department of Education survey. Would you like to discuss that now, Dr.
Bohan? And it's pretty much what you had already said, Linda, is the data that we asked for data from the Arizona Department of Education for the past 3 years. It's from a teacher attrition survey that goes out to school districts. It's mandatory that they fill those out. And the data basically showed that over the past 3 years, about 25% of school psychologists working in schools are doing contracted work in schools. It also gives data on how many clinical psychologists that there are working in schools too. Jennifer Ostrom and I are on a subcommittee that meets quarterly with the Department of Education, and we have requested, and it has gone out now, another round of surveys where they've changed the language that says total number of clinical psychologists to total number of licensed psychologists. So new data that will come in, I think probably the data is maybe not exactly accurate because some superintendents or their designees may or may not know really, you know, using the true word of what's a clinical psychologist versus a licensed psychologist who may be clinical or school or counseling psychologist. And so I think that's a good addition that the Department of Education has taken under advisement to add to the survey so that hopefully we'll have a better reflection of what those numbers are in future years. But really it was as requested from this subcommittee to have some data to really look at what is happening with our workforce in Arizona.
Okay, thank you. So let's jump ahead then to the next item with the Department of Education. And so, Mr. DePlante, we have some questions about what happens when we see school psychologists practicing independently. And what happens if we observe school psychologists, it's reported to us that there's been unethical activity. What should we do as the licensing board?
Well, thanks for having me, and I'll do my best to address your questions. And so a little caveat to this is that the investigative unit that would investigate ethical complaints against educators or licensed individuals, that unit has moved over to the State Board of Education. And actually, the State Board of Education is the authority that would take action on licenses. But as I used to supervise the investigative unit, I'm familiar. So I think whenever there's any certificated person by the State Board of Education, if there's an ethical complaint, a complaint can be made and just needs to be filed through the investigative unit. That's now available on the website. I think it's still the ADE website as well as the State Board of Education website. And you can submit a complaint. The investigative unit will address your complaint either with a turn down and why or open an investigation, and then it goes through their process.
Well, what have you had complaints of where people say that there are school psychologists referring to themselves as psychologists outside of the school and functioning in an independent private practice, for example?
I wouldn't know that information, and I don't recall seeing any action recently that I'm aware of as I watch the State Board take action on certificates. It's usually other issues. I don't recall seeing those, but that doesn't mean that they have not received complaints. However, I think that since I'm gathering your board, you know, doesn't oversee this certificate, mm-hmm. Your board or your, you know, or the school or your board could submit a complaint. to the State Board of Education to be investigated for potential action against her certificate.
Does the Department of Ed have any stand on IEEs? Who can perform those?
That would be really the Exceptional Student Services. I'm not sure if you've had Tracy Sheridan, I'm going to say her last name here, or any of the Exceptional Student Services people. From a certification perspective, we are really implementing board rule to issue certificates. And after that point, the certification unit's job is complete. We don't handle complaints against certificates.
Does anyone else on the committee have a question? Mr. DeBlint. Okay. Is there any other topic that we wanted? I think we covered at least. Is there any other concerns or questions that we want to discuss? Like the last point was, is there any possible action regarding recommendations to the Board of Psychologist Examiners? We also have the question that Dr. DeBacco brought up. Are there amendments that we want to make to that proposed bill legislation?
Dr. Catarino?
Yes.
I'm looking at item 5.
Yes.
And it says a person who is employed by an Arizona State University, et cetera, et cetera. And Dr. Malak could speak more to this. Are there people that contract, you know, like psychologists or school psychologists that contract with the university? That's what I'm getting at. It seems like the language is kind of inconsistent if we're saying employed indoor contracted for school psychologists. How does that impact folks that are working for the university, et cetera? I don't know if that's a cogent point or not, but I was concerned about that.
Dr. Malachi.
You know, if you're an adjunct professor and you're not licensed, can you say you're a psychologist? Because you're essentially contracting with university.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Malat? Is Ramona?
Sorry, there? I'm sorry. I'm here, but I have to find the mute button. So, this famous mute button, unmute myself. So, I need to pull it up. I did not pull it up
here. I could read it to you. A person who is employed by Arizona State University, Northern Arizona, University of Arizona, or other regionally accredited university in the state, and who is in other institutional services, if the services are part of the faculty duties of that person's salaried position, with the exception of faculty providing direct services or faculty providing supervision of students providing direct services, and the person has received a doctoral degree as provided in section 32.2071. So he has Dr. DeBacco has the question, what if they're just an adjunct, would they be allowed to call themselves psychologists? Could you expand on your question again, Dr. DeBacco?
Yeah, I could see a scenario where a psychologist is adjunct professor, but not licensed. I guess the question is, can he or she call themselves a psychologist when they're under contract to a university or not?
I think in the duties related directly to the teaching, and if they refer to themselves just in that teaching capacity, it looks like the statute protects them. But, you know, if they use that in their private practice, then I think there would be a problem, you know. So they have to be really careful where they're using it, you know. So if they're sending an email to their students, and if it's on their syllabus, which is directly related to their employment, you know. Heidi, do you mind sending me the bill? It's not in the agenda that we, it's not in the meeting.
It was in the first part of other things and that other resources.
Yes, Dr. Mala, I'm sending you a direct link.
Okay, thank you.
Any more interested? Ms. Galvin, do you have other points? Maybe Ms. Galvin can have anything I want to weigh in on that, the way you read that, to respond to Dr. DeBacca's question. Because it says part of, I think you're right, though, it says part of the faculty duties.
That's how I would read that, too, as a retired university person, but it is specifically to faculty duties. So as Ramona was saying, I think it would relate to teaching, but not with private practice works.
And it says the exception is faculty providing direct services or providing supervision. So it appears, I agree, it appears to be directly related to the services provided in the faculty position.
Yeah, Heidi, I got it.
Anybody else? Would you like to address that further?
I don't agree. Because, again, we get stuck on the term and employed. Does that make the person an employee? Mm-hmm. It's the same argument we had with contractor, employee. But I understand the argument that you're dropping down or going up to assigned duties, but it would seem more consistent. And again, I'm not an attorney or a bill writer, be more consistent, say employed and or contracted with, but it may be a picky one.
So Dr. DeBacco, can I address that? Some of the changes you're seeing are actually not part of the ASPP bill. From what I understood, Heidi mentioned this at the meeting. They also using this as a time to clean up. So that is not a change that I think the School Psych Association proposed. That is part of some cleanup that happened with this bill. And so I can tell you all the part-time adjunct employees at NAU, ASU, U of A are not 1099 employees because we're a state entity, kind of like the work we do for the board. They're all W-2 employees. So the word employed still holds true for them. So
they are in fact employed, negative W-2.
They're not, I don't think they're consultants. They're employees. They're just like a quarter time or a part time.
Yeah, they're employed. Yeah, so that is an employment, right, regardless of whether it's for 1 month or 3 months or
20%.
Yeah, but it's not a change that I think the school cycle. Heidi, can you comment on that?
Madam Chair, Dr. Mila, I suspect you are correct, only because what was originally submitted to me that, you know, again, we just didn't, the timing was such that we couldn't address it. The suggested edits only touched the subsection A1. So that's why I suspect, as you mentioned, that any other edits throughout the rest of the other subsections were made by Legislative Council staff in an effort to conform to their style guide that they follow.
Okay. This is Kathy, and I would, that's exactly right. Our Arizona Association of School Psychologists piece was just item one. And then anything else that was changed was with the staff, legislative staff.
Okay.
That's something the full board can comment on if it chooses to, right?
Well, I guess we could bring it up again, right? We can add that as another agenda item. Yeah, we could. I believe we could.
The board is not locked into only addressing in that particular statute the school psychology part. If they saw something else, they can say, oh, by the way, you know, we noticed this and we want to talk about that. I would think that'd be okay.
Yeah.
Or not.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, you know, those other questions that we've had, I don't know if they fit under this bill, like IEE and private practice and whether or not the agencies need to have a licensed psychologist running them. I don't think they fit under this. The only other thing I wondered about is the use of the word psychotherapy or psychological or neuropsychological evaluation being conducted by a school psychologist. you know, it sounds to me like that might be okay if it's in the school. Was there anything on discussing with that, Dr. Bohan? Was there any question about that?
No, I don't think we have any questions about that, no.
So, okay. Any, I think that Dr. DeBacco has a good point. We were not aware when we began this committee that this bill would be coming up. So that's why we were continuing to progress. And even at the last meeting, I was not presented with the information. So yes, I guess one of the questions is, should this committee continue? And what would be our purpose now? The only thing I can see is if we wanted to make any changes or add an amendment to the bill. What do the rest of you think?
Madam Chair, if I may too, I want to make sure that I wasn't inartful earlier when I mentioned the raised the possibility of an amendment. But what that would need to look like is, because there is a group that, you know, is essentially championing this legislation, any request, any amendment this committee yes. would like to see would of course need to be approved by the board, but it would also need to be presented to that group. And we would not want at all to be perceived as requesting an unfriendly amendment. So I'm recommending that, you know, the board, the recommendation go to the board. The board could take that recommendation to the association, and the association would also need to ensure that the bill sponsor, Representative Udall, who chairs the House Health Committee, that she would be comfortable with any amendment to the bill as well. So there's a series of steps that would need to be executed in an appropriate way.
Yes, I understand that, but I don't even know if we, what, I'm just looking if there's even a first step. Do we even feel that there are any amendments that this committee wanted to address? So does anybody have a comment on that?
Yeah, this is Dr. Malott. You know, if we are talking about the word related to the university hiring a part-time adjunct faculty, that has not come up as an issue. It's never been raised. This is cleanup language. And I don't see the need for addressing that at this point. That has always been an exemption. We made a change as a board a few years ago so that people who are doing supervision had to be licensed, even if they're employed, and we added that to the bill. So really we are addressing, you know, I mean, this should be an issue that maybe a university should raise, you know, because this is very language pertaining specific to that. Because they're all W-2 employees and it only addresses the three state institutions. We haven't had any instance come before this board. So I don't know.
I didn't see a need for that because it's just changing in the employ of versus who is employed by. And I think that's always been in there. And now that we know they're not consultants, I see no issue myself on that.
So I think this should just, you know, go forward to make amendments, you know. I mean, you're talking about, you know, it's already been voted on by the House as we've just heard. You know, I think if this committee decides they want to talk about other issues, other matters, that's a different matter. But I think this bill is kind of, you know, moving forward as stated. So
any other comments on that? Okay, so does that mean we're all in agreement that at this point we don't see any need for friendly amendments or suggestions to change the bill? Okay, and now your second point. Yes, Dr. DeBacco.
To your first point, I don't have any objection, but what I would suggest is that rather than just a recommendation going to the full board, I think the board needs to know the whole process, start to finish. When the committee met, when the bill was dropped, who sponsored it, what our participation was in that. But I want them to have a whole picture of the scenario for no particular reason, so they can have a gestalt in terms of how this all came about. But I'm going to go back to something I said earlier, and based on additional conversation, this committee, outside of agreeing or not agreeing, I guess we could, coattailing on Heidi's comments, we can make other recommendations, but the board already has endorsed the language. I guess the board could say, oh, gee, we didn't know that, or we didn't understand the precedent that we were setting. They could, but it seems like, you know, this cake is baked. It's my position.
Yes, I agree.
But I think the board needs to know the whole process, you know, why we were commissioned to do this, who participated, when the bill occurred, who sponsored the bill, our response to that, et cetera. But I think it's important to be transparent, quite frankly.
Yes, I agree. So, Ms. Pakelman, would you be able to help with a timeline on that, perhaps, and to address that issue?
Yes, Madam Chair. So it would be a little bit ambitious, I think, to try to package all of this for the board's very next meeting. I mean, it could be done, but I think I think it's overly ambitious. So by the March 11th board meeting, I think the destiny of House Bill 2178 will be really clear. And so that will, that could be incorporated into a final report to the board, which summarizes, you know, the work of this committee. The minutes of this committee, of course, memorialize your work, and, you know, what you accomplished or didn't accomplish, for that matter. So that being said, it could be supplemented with a written narrative that, you know, you and I can collaborate on in some fashion, so that there is a final report that goes to the board. And again, to my point earlier, in the future, anybody could find that material, it's public record, and they would know what came of this effort. Okay. And how it developed.
I think that would be very useful. Yes. Okay. I certainly would work with you on that.
And I'm happy, as the president of the Arizona Association of School Psychologists, to give you some of the timelines too, as we worked with our legislative liaison to know when the bill actually dropped, I think, into December, 1st of January. We had the draft language that we had prepared to, and then we had a canceled meeting in December. And so there was kind of several instances of things that transpired over time, but I can help with that timeline.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be great.
Why didn't you tell us about that when we first met, that it was underway, or at least subsequent? Why was that information not brought forth?
I didn't know the rules of how the subcommittee operated. And so I did send to Heidi the new language in October for that meeting, but I was not within the public notice timeline, so it couldn't be entered into that conversation. Then the December meeting canceled. And so this is the next meeting we've had since then. We had an opportunity with Representative Udall, as an association. We're meeting with her on a fairly regular basis about numerous items, not just this. And it came up, and she offered to sponsor because she wanted to move that forward in what we were presenting. So that happened pretty quickly in late December, early January, went to the House a week ago and moved forward. So that, you know, as House and Senate bills move slowly, we wanted to expedite this when we had the opportunity. And thus, that's why it moved as it did.
Okay, thank you.
It was unfortunate because I didn't even see it that at the October meeting because it was too late. It was submitted too late. So,
and again, our apologies for that. Again, we didn't know quite the protocol for how this all transpired, and just a series of, again, canceled meetings and things. But again, we appreciate it and tried to put forth our best effort around the concern about employed versus contracted, especially when we got the data that showed that 25% of school psychologists in a state with a huge shortage and the nation with a huge shortage of school psychologists were contracted. And so wanted to clarify that so that we really did have clarity for our membership and for other school psychologists in the state to really know how to use this exemption appropriately, and so that we could prevent concerns with people practicing inappropriately in the state.
And I did mention at the board meeting in January that, you know, I said, but what about our committee that we haven't completed it, our recommendations, but we went ahead and had the vote anyway. So.
And Heidi had presented the new language to me just before the board meeting, and I was the one who had advised her that unfortunately we wouldn't be able to put it on the agenda because of the requirements under the open meeting law. So that wasn't something that was, you know, arbitrary or, you know, a decision just, you know, made by Ms. Pakadon. That was upon advice of legal counsel.
So do we see any purpose in continuing this committee for any other areas related to school psych, practicing of school psychology, licensure, certification? Do we see a reason to continue? Anybody say yes? All right. Anybody say that maybe this should be our last meeting? No. Well, we have to have one vote one way or the other. So are there other issues that anybody thinks this committee should deal with either today or at a future date?
I think, this is Dr. Malott, I think we should go ahead and cease, you know, this committee. I'm not trying to get out of meetings. I know I go to a lot of meetings.
No.
But, and we always have the opportunity to resurrect a committee and reach out to our school psychologists if we have concerns, and reach out to the association like we do with the Arizona Psych Association. And we can reconstitute a committee if the need arises, even if it's next month. So, but for now, you know, as Dr. DeBacco said, you know, this meeting was called and I wondered about it too. So, I'd vote, at least for now, we should, you know.
Do you want to make that a motion, perhaps? Is that motion?
Okay, I'll make the motion that the work has been completed for this committee, and for right now, there is no further purpose to continue meeting.
Second on that?
I will second.
Okay, and all in favor of ceasing or pausing or ceasing the committee at this time, say aye.
Aye.
Anybody opposed to that? Nay. Okay, then what I see is that at this point, this would be our last committee meeting, at least for now. And I appreciate everybody's input and everything you've done. So thank you very much for participating.
Thank you.
Thank you for your leadership.
Can I ask a question of Jean, though? So if this committee is effectively disbanding today, how do we obtain approval of the this meeting's minutes?
Oh,
could you need more than two, right? Yeah, because Dr. Katarina and I.
But couldn't they be mailed out like an email, or they have to be voted on in person?
Ms. Galvin, you're muted.
Troubles with the audio. There we go.
Oh,
I can discuss that with you, Heidi, but. We can just have Dr. Caterino sign them, noted that they weren't approved by the committee because it was sunsetted, and just note that they are draft.
Okay, but at a minimum, the committee chair should review and approve, or?
Not approve them, just sign them with a notation that they were reviewed by her, but not approved by the entire committee because the committee was sunset.
Okay. All right.
So and so we don't, there's no need to send it out to the committee members and just have them respond that way.
Yeah, we can't do that because that would violate the open meeting law.
That open meeting law. Okay.
I'm going to rise to the point of information. So Heidi suggested, you know, based on a conversation and doing a historical kind of narrative on all of this. And I understand you can't get that done very quickly. Where does that fit in? I understand that's separate from the minutes, or will that be included in the minutes? Or I'm not clear on how we're going to accomplish that. But I do think the board needs a historical timeline and some narrative about all of this, rather than just a kind of a general minutes from the meeting.
Dr. DeBacco, can I just comment on that really quick?
Please.
Heidi did provide some of that background. She talked about the December meeting not being held, that this arrived too late. So she did provide the full board with that information, if I'm remembering correctly. And Ms. Pakanan can speak to that.
Yes, I guess she did, but I think maybe just the timeline of the meeting dates and anything Dr. Bohan wanted to
add. I'm not disagreeing with I think doing a final report in March is fine, but just for Dr. DeBacco's knowledge, since I was there, Heidi did provide quite a bit. So.
Yeah, and Dr. Malott, I was aware of that, but based on Heidi's comments, I thought, was some more that needed to be done, additional information, especially in terms of the bill and where it's at and all of that.
Yeah, that would be, I think that's perfectly fine.
Okay, I agree.
Okay, so do I hear a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Any second on that?
Second.
Okay, all in favor of adjournment, say aye.
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 Aye. Any nays? Okay, I guess the meeting is adjourned. So thank you.
Yeah.
And thanks again for all your help.
Yep.